Welcome to the Bates Motel AfterBuzz After Show, Episode 5, Dreams Die First. I don't know what does that even mean, dreams die first?
Oh, like other things die second.
Let's find out right now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yeah, yo.
What?
Yeah. Uh-oh.
More la la. Yeah, yo.
Tell me about it, Joe.
All I got to say is, what?
Y'all should know me well enough. Welcome to the Bates Motel After Buzz After Show. Episode 5, Dreams Die First. It's my girl, Bad Girl Riri, who I love so much. Like, blah, blah, blah. Welcome to it's nothing to do with the Bates Motel After Show.
Nothing.
Actually, it does, because the bitch better have my money refers to the 400 grand that she has.
Which, not for anything, it's impressive that Rihanna can pretend 400 grand matters to her.
Good point.
Like, what was the greatest challenge, Rihanna, in taking on the role of the iconic role? And I had to pretend 400 grand mattered.
I had to pretend looking at $400 grand in cash was a big deal.
And I had to pretend I didn't know how much it weighed. Because, bitch, I know how much it weighed.
I take that to the strip club. Welcome.
Tuesday.
We're here at Bates Motel After Buzz After Show. I'm Joe Braswell. I'm joined, not as always, but today by my lovely friend Joe Sanfilippo.
It's nice to be here with you guys,
this
and I'm
so
feeling
rare.
Very lovely. This is very exciting.
Just me and you, Joe.
Just you and I.
This hasn't happened since Friday night. Hey-o. But on the phone, I can say as always, because she's always here, because she's so god darn reliable, I have the lovely Julia Carely. Hi.
Hello, gentlemen.
Julia Carely is like...
yourself in there.
She's like a redheaded Swiss watch. Swiss watch. Swiss. Sweat pep.
Voiceover.
Redheaded
voiceover
Swiss watch.
There it is.
Excellent.
We are a little punchy. It's
thank you.
Yeah.
It's because you're so reliable.
How's that?
Thank you.
Does Joe not get the ladies
know.
Or what? Does Joe
I'm
not impress
you.
Ladies? Baby, you like a redheaded Swiss watch.
I think I might have been married for too long. I'm just spitting game,
been
yo.
Been out of the game for a while, Flip.
We're not joined by the lovely Dua Casey, who's feeling a little bit under the weather, unfortunately. Dua, we miss you. Feel better. She's going to make that long drive over from the west side of Los Angeles all the way over to
the
beautiful studios down here in downtown North Hollywood, California.
Downtown NoHo.
Downtown No to the Ho.
Downtown
NoHo. But anyway, we're Bates Motel Episode 5. This is, man, so we're finally getting into it. We see the debut of Rihanna. Bad Girl Riri, as you call her. Joe Flippo.
I didn't call her that. I didn't call her that.
That's what you call her. So lots of stuff happening here. We've got Norman has a visit to the White Horse and Norma. We have Sam Loomis. We get a little more of his backstory along with Rihanna, which is takes us right to the beginning of Psycho. We got little Dylan and Emma, a little dilemma confessions going on. We have the triumphant return, thank God, of Dr. Gay Edwards. And stuff's happening.
Stuff's happening.
And we got a cameo by Carlton Cuse as the cop.
Is that that's what it was, right? I'm not crazy.
No,
yes.
It's him. In my head, I thought like, they got the original guy to play the cop from Psycho. And I did the math. I'm like, well, that guy. And I
that
looked guy's, it up.
I'm like,
that guy died in 1973. Apologies to Mr. Carlton Cuse.
I saw him on the co-starring. He had a co-starring credit, and I was like, I wonder. And I totally forgot about it until you said that. That makes nothing but sense.
Oh, man.
I just was wondering why they cast the trooper so old.
I thought this is my thing. And I thought, like, oh, they got the original guy.
That makes total sense.
Anyway, Julia, what did you think of this episode? What did you think?
I was obsessed with this episode. I thought it was so loaded. And Freddie Highmore was so incredible in this episode.
Amy.
In his sort of realization. Yes.
Yeah.
His mm-hmms alone were just stellar.
Yeah, definitely.
I absolutely loved it. I love the introduction of Psycho, what we've been gearing up for the last, you know, 4.5 seasons, and how it seamlessly, I feel, it's just a seamless transition into this story that we know and love. And it's interesting seeing Psycho that we know and love set in this sort of modern time. I was just obsessed with this episode.
You know, it's kind of like...
Nestor Carbonell. Killer.
Yeah.
killer director.
Man,
doesn't he do good? He does good. He does good stuff.
Yeah, we definitely need to talk to him about this episode because he's I think he directs episode fives. Like I think he's done a lot of fives, right? I think he did episode five and previous seasons. But I will say this. Well, go ahead, Joe.
Well, I was going to say what I think is so interesting, and we talked about this seasons a few seasons ago. It's like building a bridge from two sides of a river and having it connect in the middle. But one side of the river starting 30 years later, I mean, it's such an interesting thing that they've chosen to do. And like you said, it's seamless. It's lining up seamlessly. So they've been building this bridge for five seasons. We've got it connecting up with this movie that's already been there. And it's so cool because, you know, if there's mistakes that are made, it's, you know, the whole thing doesn't line up. It's a foot off one way or the other. And it's not that way. It lines up, like you said, seamlessly. It's going to work. It's going to be a perfect fusion.
Our girlfriend, Jodie Walker, talked about in her column, in her recap column. If you haven't checked that out, check out Jodie Walker's column, Entertainment Weekly. She does a wonderful recap of Bates Motel. But she talked about how this entire series has done a great job of leaving us Easter eggs. They fought for Psycho the whole way, and the Easter eggs became sort of ostrich-sized Easter eggs. But now we've arrived, and we've arrived at, like, you know, actually seeing a full-blown recreation of Psycho without being not true to what we've already, you know, lived through. So we don't want to see a Gus Van Sant style just flat-out remake.
No.
You know, with Vince Vaughn.
Mm-mm.
But we are going to get to see this sort of interesting retelling, and not unlike Brian Fuller and the gang did over at Hannibal, right?
So you take it and you create an origin story that's so much more interesting to watch.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and it's this, like we've talked about this multiple times, the what do we call it? The post-secondary golden age of television.
It's all you.
don't say it's all me. You and I had this argument for hours. But yeah. I love where we're at in TV right now. I love the freedom that these people are these folks are given to create these characters that are so realized, that are so explored. And this idea of a 90-minute universe is we're rapidly very comfortable with the idea of abandoning and going, you know what? If it takes you 50 hours to create the universe, take 50 hours.
Well, let's get into the Rihanna of it all because, I mean, she's gotten there's been some mostly good, but there's some polarizing, you know, views on Rihanna and her acting or whatever. And first of all, I thought she was fine. I didn't think she was, you know, she wasn't Meryl Streeping it up, but I thought she was fine. I thought she was better than fine. I think that she, you have a legendary role. But you know, done by Janet Leigh. Not that Janet Leigh was acting it up either. By the way, I just think I don't know. I thought she was great. But I, what do you think about, you know, sort of the? It's very true. She's having an affair with Sam Loomis, just like the other Marion Crane was. We have that. The other one was set in Phoenix. This is set in Seattle, which makes more sense because obviously White Pine Bay is close to Seattle. We have that very similar setup with the whole. Except this time she's a notary republic as opposed to just a secretary. And I liked all of those. Like everything about it, everything about the 40 grand from Psycho has now become 400 grand, which makes sense. It was 40K in Psycho.
Inflation.
I liked all of it. I like the asshole boss. I like that exchange there. I like the weird fat cat, just like in Psycho. He had the taxi, he had the cowboy hat. I liked all of it. I'll tell you what, Rihanna can notarize my. She can notarize any of my documents any day of the week.
You know what? What time is it? How far in are we?
It was a heaving notarization. That was a little gratuitous. she bent over and did a.
It was a little heavy.
Notarized.
I don't know how long we've been on, but however long it is, it's about 5 minutes longer than I thought it would take for you to tell to say that Rihanna could notarize.
She
junk.
Can notarize. So I didn't say she could notarize my junk.
Oh, you implied it.
I wish I'd
written it down because I knew there was
no one said Rihanna can notarize my junk, but she could. But I don't know, Julia. So you like Psycho the film and this stuff. Did you think this stuff was a little too dead on, just right? Was it cool? What do you think of Rihanna's performance? Was it exciting to see? Like what do you feel about the whole Marion Crane storyline?
As far as the comparison of this to the original, I think that they are they're doing it just right with having their own take, but still giving a throwback to the original. As for Rihanna, I'm kind of on the fence right now. I hate to say it. She's not my fave. I mean, everyone is just acting their asses off on this show, and she just sort of stands out to me because she's not quite up to par.
Fine.
Yeah. I mean, that's not to say that she won't kill it in the pardon the pun, but kill it in future episodes.
Yeah.
But I think the casting choice is slightly questionable.
I mean, do you feel like it's more stunty than anything else?
Yeah, and it just feels a little out of character for this show for me.
Okay. All right. Well, I like it. I mean, one of our engineers, producers here, Marissa, was very critical of this and just sort of saying, like, you know, she felt like she was wanting to get back to Norman and Norma. I mean, there's no Norma this episode, which we'll talk about, but wanting to get back to Norman and, why am I sitting here? I mean, she's like, I got to sit here and look at Rihanna the whole time and just watch Rihanna, like, sit there and watch her. I'm like, yeah, that's the point.
I mean, I don't mind watching her. She's gorgeous. She's hot. But I just don't want to watch her in White Pine Bay or on my Bates Motel.
Fair enough.
It's a very sacred space
to me.
Fair
enough. But could she notarize anything for you? That's what I want to know.
But she can notarize my public any day.
All right. Joe, what do you got?
I'm mixed on it because I think at this point with this show for me, I think they can basically do no wrong. In my eyes. So, I mean, it's almost unfair. It's like I feel like I'm at a restaurant where the meal has been so perfect the entire night. The wine's been amazing. The appetizer was incredible. The little bit of soup was perfect. The salad that came with the soup for no good reason was unreal. The lobster was perfect. And at this point, like, we're talking about the dessert. And I'm like, you know what? If the dessert, their choice, they gave me something maybe I would have chosen for myself, I'm fine with it. I think that's kind of where I land on it.
Okay, I'll take it. So that was good, and realize that, like, yeah, Sam Loomis is the actual character. Sam is the guy. Sam is, I can't remember, Julia, was Sam having an affair in Psycho 2, or was he just, or were they just, what was going on with that?
Oh,
I mean, I know obviously
remember.
Sam Loomis. I know they were sneaking around. They were sneaking around, but I don't know if they were having. I don't know if they were having an affair or not, but it's very, very similar beginning to all that stuff.
Well, you know what's funny to me? I maybe this is weird. I think of him as a bigger dirtbag because it doesn't seem like Rihanna's character. It doesn't seem like Marion knows about Madeline. Am I crazy?
Yeah, no, she doesn't.
No, she doesn't.
She doesn't.
No, everything about their relationship is a lie. It is completely manipulative.
Right.
He's built very elaborate lies around what his life is up in White Pine Bay.
On both sides. I don't know how you keep that many balls in the air, so to speak. I don't know how you do that because that's incredibly complex. I got this whole storyline going over here. I got this whole storyline going over here, and nobody knows about. That's incredible. And what was he running? He's saying, "Oh, was the debt? I can't marry you because of the debt. I don't want you to."
Yeah,
yeah. That's he's in like, awful debt. He's living in a room at some guy's house, so he's
I'm embarrassed.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why she's like.
But then he's also very manipulative in that, you know, I love you. You deserve better. I want to give you the world. So he's he really wants to. It's not like a flash in the pan of an affair. Like it's really rooted.
Rooted in some re. That's what it's rooted in. And he's gonna, but look, she's got, but she's what's so funny?
You said rooted. Never mind. Go on.
Okay. All right. What was I gonna say? So yeah. So I think that she. So I. It makes sense that she loves him and she wants to. She loves him and she wants to take that money. It's worth taking the money. Yeah. Plus, we get to see, you know, what an asshole her boss was. And what an a-hole of a boss,
well,
right?
Well, this is the thing, and I think that's worth touching on, is that... And to some degree, please.
Is this how you do your employees, Joe, by the way?
That's how I do it. That's how I talk. but I do want to say that the boss, whoever, the actor they found for the boss, he did a great job in that the one thing he said that I actually, as a guy who has people that work for him, I absolutely agree with. Right. You do have to pick your moment, and to ask for a raise on the day you were late and embarrass me in front of a huge client, like that's not the day to ask for a raise. Are you out of your GD mind?
Yeah.
On the other hand, boss, why are you giving people just suitcases full of cash?
Hey,
that is not
a psycho. And just be a dear and just deposit this $400,000 for me and get out. And next time, don't be such a bitch.
Can you wrap your head?
Like, what?
No, I mean, that's some business. I'm gonna give you a $400,000 suitcase.
All right.
Boom. But you got to know your timing. That is an actual worthwhile. That is correct. But I love the way they set that up though, because she, leaving their little hotel room, or was that her apartment? That was her apartment, right?
Don't know.
It looked like her apartment. And leaving her place, right? Where it looked elegant, looked nice, and she's got her like that was a power suit she was wearing. It looked great. And the buttons, very cool design. That was not like a off the rack at Ross. That was a nice looking, that was a serious outfit.
Yeah, I know.
And so you got the impression that maybe she had more going on at work than she did. And I like the come down. You know what I mean? I like when they brought her, she comes into the office, an elegant office, a nice looking place, but you're the notary. Mm-hmm. You're here. You're never getting to here.
Right.
Go get a college education. Invest in yourself. Whatever he said, right? The condescending, snide shit. But I love that. I love the way they set that up, because obviously she wants more, clearly, and Sam's been promising her more, and she's dressing for more, and we want this next thing. And then I love that it really lines up very clearly where she is. And then when we have that moment with the big client, why she's there. It's not because she stamps the notary thing better than anybody else. It's because...
Yes, she does. That's part of it. Go ahead.
But that's you know what I'm saying? But that's the deal. It's not because she's a genius notary. It's because the boss likes looking at her ass and showing her to the client.
Right.
Very true. And I think that was all very well done, and very made a really quick, clear case for why she did what she did.
So let's move on to...
That's a humiliating place to be for her.
Right.
You know, I can sort of reconcile in my head why she would take that money and run. And she even says to Sam at one point, you know, I have other options. Or it's not like I don't have any other options. And he says, I see how people look at you. And no one wants to feel like that, like you're just an object at all times.
Tell me about it.
It's a burden that both of us bear. I'll tell you.
It's rough. Rough out here for us guys.
No, but that's real. Like, you never be recognized for what it is you actually can contribute. You're recognized for whether or not you're decorative, and what people. Yep. And that's I would imagine that felt great when you were 15, 16, 17, and then it starts to feel real old real fast. So I think they did a hell of a job with that. And like I said, and it's funny with a show that's taken the amount of time that they've taken, they made that case so economically with their time.
Sure,
they did it so quickly.
Well, it's a lot of, and not unlike Hitchcock did in Psycho. It's a lot of business to get done and setting up this whole backstory. Oh, don't kill yourself there. And they did it. They did fine. Also winking back to what we already know as viewers who've watched Psycho before. And even if you haven't seen Psycho, you get it. All right, we spent enough time on that. I do want to recognize. But she does get pulled over in the scene from Psycho, which I did like about that moment is. Carlton Cuse did have the glasses on and the hat just like the guy, but they didn't duplicate the iconic scene where he's sort of leaning in with the glasses. He took off the glasses immediately, which I thought was cool. I thought for a second he's going to keep the glasses on and lean in just like in Psycho, but he took them off and then gave a different look.
You know what's funny? Unless you've ever spent any time on a set or I guess that's really the only way to put it. Unless you ever spent any real time on a set, you know, you can watch, you can be forgiven for watching a show and seeing all the shots line up, they're edited together to make the narrative easy to digest, and not really consider that a lot of thought goes into each and every shot.
Yeah.
But they chose actively not to do that.
Yeah.
Like that's not something that just happened. They actively choose everything that goes into it. And so them choosing to take the glasses off way before he leans in, that's a choice.
And let's face it, he's in the Pacific Northwest. It's fucking cloudy as hell. He didn't need glasses, but he had the glasses on to let you know this is a throwback to this.
So we give a nod, but we don't do it exactly.
Other nod they gave in when she's pulling up to the Bates Motel. That's almost the exact sort of scene of Marion Crane pulling to the Bates Motel in the rain. That was almost taken exactly shot for shot from Psycho, including the music, which is not the actual score from Psycho, but very 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 close. So I thought that was very cool. I don't know, Julia, did you pick up on all that? I'm sure you did. You're smart.
And if you didn't,
yes,
you're dumb.
I really enjoyed it.
Oh yeah. All right. So moving on. So let's talk about Norman. Let's get to Norman. We're gonna talk about Norman. Talk about Dilemma. So Norman, we last saw Norman. He was doing some baking at the house, and things got a little frisky as they might do. He then saw Norma. Ironically, the last appearance of Norma there. He runs out. And, he runs out of the house and then presumably blacks out, right?
Well, he runs out of the house. He comes home.
And shout out to Dua, who we called were sort it. Of a room divided last week. She definitely called it. That was a wake up of Norma.
Yes.
Yeah, we had a big to do. And Julia, I don't know if you checked online. You and I were overwhelmingly overruled.
Sure.
By the universe. I think you and I were the only ones that were like, I don't think it's Norma. Everybody else it was like, 100%, it's Mother.
It was 100% Mother.
But we're not sure if you're idiots. Okay.
Yeah. It was Norma.
So clearly Norman freaked out, ran around the house, discovered that the orange juice hadn't been drank, that sandwich hadn't been eaten, hit the sink, turned around. Norma came out, put on her wig, went over to the white horse and did some damage.
I mean, I would love to see how Norma gets down at the white horse, because apparently...
Oh, she
Me
gets
too.
Down.
They're like, oh, there you are. New look for you. Oh,
take it easy.
Night, huh?
Slow down.
And I love the fact that here comes this young man in the wig. He comes into the white horse. Now, the white horse isn't some bar out of Stefan's world in SNL and in New York City, where it's just some wild place. It's just a fucking, it's just a bar. Fact that this kid can come in with a wig and just come sashaying in.
I think it's not just a bar. I think I don't know if you call it a gay bar. I don't know if that's accurate, but it's definitely it's got a broad reach. I think there were a couple of folks we were supposed to see.
There, right?
Well, I think there were some broads who weren't broads. I think that was part of what we were also supposed to see.
Oh, really?
Is there were a couple of folks that weren't that were identifying differently than they were born?
Okay.
I think that was what we were supposed to see in that first shot.
A lot of they and them.
You know, brands. I was wondering that, and I don't think it was. I don't think it was a gay bar.
I don't think it was either.
I think it was just like a cool bar, a cool inclusive bar.
So you think that's the deal?
He goes there as Norma. She thinks she's a woman looking for a man.
Yeah, she's not going there. Yeah, exactly. And she's in there doing her thing.
Okay. So the dude that he went, the dude he clearly hooked up with last night was the guy who helped him in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He's just a guy who likes guys. Who's having some fun.
But that's the question. Yeah. But he clearly recognized that Norman, so he wasn't.
You want to share how this works?
No,
men like men.
I'm just trying to sort of, shut up. I'm just trying to sort out. I'm just trying to sort out where we land with Norman as Norma. He's not fooling anyone, right?
No.
So the question is, right? So the question is, how much artifice is he applying, I guess? But this is an honest question. So I think speaks to, I feel like we're glazing over it because it's kind of it's a minefield, if you say, but how much artifice is he putting into becoming Norma, and then how much would that?
Not much. There's no makeup.
That's the question. Is there makeup? Is there because he's putting on the wig, right? So the wig implies that intent, right? So is it that Norma steps up, Mother comes through, and then grabs the wig and puts it on really fast before Mother realizes that Mother's putting on a wig?
I don't know how that works, but
that's
definitely
what I'm saying. I think it's interesting.
This wig, and there's probably maybe there's a dress, or maybe there's a shawl, or maybe
right.
Something
so I mean, at some point, you would make the transition mentally, right? Okay, so I've got the wig on. Now I just have to put on my face, and I have to get dressed, and that you could just do as Mother, right? Mother would be choosing to do that before she went out. But I'm just curious where the line gets drawn, because clearly no one's fooled. It's like he walks in,
yeah.
And they're like, who are you? You know, but it's just an interesting thing to me because, again, this show's been so specific about so many things.
Yeah. Well, it's a good point. That I'm less concerned about. I feel like that she's a mother. Goes, oh, my hair's weird. She throws in there. It looks better.
I think it's as simple as that.
I think it's as simple as that. And I think once she's there, though, I like the idea. Like, I mean, this is Pacific Northwest. I mean, this is a very, look. Could be more inclusive and liberal than the old Pacific Northwest. So he walks in with a wig. Mm-hmm. Everybody's like, fine by me. How you doing, buddy?
Right?
Yeah, and I think it's great. But yeah, I'm curious as to what goes on there because, it looks like Norma's old mother is the life of the party. Not only is she, it's not that she goes in there and has a couple of drinks, but apparently she's the life of the party because of and no one's like, ugh, here comes Norma again, or ugh, this kid. They're like, oh,
right.
Yeah, how you doing? Yeah, you all right?
Take it easy tonight. We're gonna go slow. Now, here's a question, and this is just a little housekeeping question. This is a relatively small town. Norman is going out in drag. Nobody's going to notice this. How many people live in White Pine Bay? What do we think is?
Well, maybe it's not. Maybe it's at the outskirts of town.
Well, he did say it was kind of far out of town.
Yeah, it must
be
out of town a little bit.
When she drove.
So, oh, that's true. Okay, Madeline said she was 10 minutes out, but that wasn't 10 minutes from the bar. That was where she was 10 minutes from him.
Right.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Picking him up.
What did you think of the whole? What do you think of the whole white horse situation, Julia? What's your take on the white horse?
I mean, I loved it. I agree with you that I would love to see Mother or Norma at that bar doing her thing, getting down, having drinks.
Probably a good hang. I'm guessing Norma's a good hang.
Oh, there's no question.
Yeah, she is totally. She's so much fun.
Yeah.
And she's a little like loosey-goosey. When he calls and asks, did she leave with a man? He goes, probably. But
yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like a usual thing for her.
It'd be weird if she
probably didn't.
Yeah. Now, what was happening in the flashback? So when the dude, I mean, obviously, like, did, this is what I'm trying to figure out, was what was Norma or slash Norman flashing back to when the guy was like, hey, trying to make out with him, and, you know, I see you again. Was he flashing back to him making out with the dude in the car as
I don't
Norma?
I don't think they were just making out, Joe.
Well, it was Norma getting pleasured by him.
I think Jules is accurate.
Right, but
his head was definitely going down south.
Oh, okay. But Norma was
We saw the top of her like thigh high garters, like,
yeah, that's what
saw
I thought.
Head going down.
It was a little blurry for me. I couldn't figure out what was going on there. Okay, got it. So
there's some business happening in the old Mercedes.
Mm-hmm. I understand. I get it now.
Mm-hmm.
So Norman remembers all this, do you think this is doing to Norman as he's actually coming to some grips here? Because we should say that this is an episode where there is no Vera Farmiga, no Mother, no Norma in this whole episode.
Not going to lie to you. I did feel the lack. I don't care for the lack of Vera.
but it's interesting. It's like
this
episode.
This was a really...
Go ahead, Jules.
Well, I think his flashbacks were... So it all stemmed from his meeting with Dr. Edwards. You know, it's sort of he's now caught between two worlds, and that I think that started in the Edwards scene, because he said with Dr. Edwards, you know, sometimes I see Mother when she's not there, sometimes I become her. So he remembers this, he admits this, and then when he's outside of the bar, when he's outside of the, what was it called, White Horse Bar, he says that again, exactly, I see Mother when she's not here, sometimes I become her, almost like a chant, almost like he's trying to summon her. Like he's consciously trying to become her.
I thought it was the
trying
opposite.
Her on as Norman.
I thought it was the opposite too. I thought it was like, I'm trying to stay present. I don't want to black out. I need to know what's happening. Like, I don't want, like, it's more of like, you know, if I see Mother, it's not real. If I see Mother, it's not real. Like, I've got to go in here and see what happened.
I've got to find out.
I got to stay in Norman.
That's what I thought too.
Norman,
Well, I wasn't sure. I have question marks next to both of those things.
Yeah. I
don't know. Well, he's also, remember, he's kind of scared that Romero is coming for him. He's trying to find Romero as well.
Oh, yeah,
that's
the sheriff. I forgot about that.
Earlier.
The sheriff did bring him on in.
Yeah, and also...
And he knows that he's got to be sensing that the noose is tightening around him with the sheriff. She clearly doesn't trust him.
Yeah.
And she's floating a little bit at him there with the, let me ask you a few questions. And then, of course, in that cop way, let me save my little humdinger for the end.
Yeah.
Well, so why'd you visit him in prison a couple weeks ago? What's up with that, Norm?
Yeah, exactly. Well, to drop that bomb in the end. She's fantastic, by the way. Brooke Smith.
Yes.
Who you may or may not remember from Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, I believe we've covered this.
Oh, I wasn't there.
Oh, you know what? I'd fuck me. I'd show.
Wait,
no, I'm just saying. We covered all this. We've been down this road.
All right.
We did.
All right, sorry. Okay, so yeah, she's great, by the way. She's fantastic. That's all. So anyway, what I want to go back to though is just Norman sort of just trying to, you know, this is sort of a detective mission of Norman. This whole episode is sort of a bit of a episode of discovery and trying to get to the bottom of things. You have Dylan and Emma trying to get to the bottom of stuff that they've, you know, they've been sort of not faced,
There was a lot of Norman honesty.
Yes, of Norman sort of getting to the bottom of what's going on with himself. We have a lot of shots of the house a lot of Norman walking in, seeing.
There was
like
a lot of honesty. Period. There was a lot of Norman honesty. With his reality and with Madeline.
Sure.
Like in that car ride with Madeline, he's like he was very upfront.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, even when he was before he decided to tell her, like, hey, you know, you should ask your husband about why he's boffing Rihanna in my motel. But like everything he said.
Yeah.
Was very real. Like, no, look, you were lonely. You were lonely because you felt this, and that was what happened. That's it. And
how did you? I mean, did we? Well, in that moment, I'm going to go back to Norman in a second. But in that moment in the car, Juliet, did you? How did you feel about Malin's reaction? Was that like? I mean, did you feel as if that was? I was a little surprised by her
very motherlike
violent reaction. Yeah, very motherlike in that. In fact, even
yeah.
Not only looked like Norma, but she acted like Norma.
That head whip, that whang,
all that thing, and then she comes up with her very Norma-like ohm theory. Like, you're probably just making this up to
drive us further apart.
Mm-hmm.
that makes sense, you know. So that was interesting.
You know what was interesting to me, that the whole episode, it seems to be it's an episode of transition, right? Norman trying to figure out, to come to terms with his reality, and it seemed like he went from a little bit in that car ride, someone who was interested in Madeline as a sexual prospect, to almost like a gay friend. Like, he almost switched over into like, I'm your gay buddy, telling you why you wanted to make out with me at the party the other night. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that was that. And I think that's interesting, given the entire episode is, you know, Norman coming to terms with what he's been doing,
right?
And who he's kind of, you know, who he's kind of turned
also,
into.
We're also dealing with his feelings of loneliness. He talks about loneliness in the car, that he doesn't have a choice. He barely understands his life as it is. And then with his scene with Dr. Edwards, he says, "I'm not alone." Dr. Edwards asked, "Do you still have mother still?" And he admits it, that yes, he still does have mother. So I'm just sort of confused of what, and I think he is too. The question is, what does Norman want? Does he want to live a life without mother at this point because she's out of control, or does he want to live life with mother?
Yeah, it's,
I'm not sure. I don't think he knows either. I think that's why it's...
Well, I think we touched on that towards the end of the episode, like in the bathroom, like there's a real poignant moment in the bathroom where, you know, it seems like, look, he wanted to get to the bottom of this. The way I see Norman's journey is like, I need to get to the bottom of this. I need to find out what's happening here. I'm looking around the house. There's a half-eaten sandwich. This one's not eating. Something's clearly not right. He sees a chance meeting with Dr. Edwards, which I thought was awesome. By the way, such empathy that guy has.
Oh, my goodness. He draws you in.
Damon Gupton
yeah.
as an actor, like, he's just yeah. like, he's really like, to this, he just...
I feel you, man.
Loses empathy,
yeah.
you know, and so it's great to see him. Like, come on, even though I'm like, come on, man, come on.
But you know what was interesting about the way they shot that scene, or one of the things I thought was interesting, they diminished him physically. Like when he was at the Institute, they shot him bigger. The angles they used made him look physically larger. Mm. This shot this time around in the little coffee shop where it wasn't his domain, it was just neutral ground. Mm. They made him physically smaller, which I thought was an interesting choice because he didn't feel as overwhelming in Norman's psyche. Does that make any sense?
It does make sense. What I found very interesting about that is like when they're having that confrontation / conversation about, you know, very much, do you remember like what I told you? Do you remember what's going on with you? And when he says it out loud, that it's this horrible sort of self-realization.
Yeah.
And real time, like, you know, yes, I become mother. Oh, shit. Like, that's what I do. Like, oh, my God. And the tears in his eyes, that's where the Emmy came from, Julia, right? How about that acting?
Yes.
Like that?
Yes.
Like
spectacular.
Yeah, that scene where he's like sort of tearing up and realizing, oh my God, my mother's dead. B, she's not real. What does that mean? C, I become her. What does that mean? I still have her. All of those implications in his brain when he starts running through like, oh my God, people are dead. Things are weird. Chick, what's going on? All that stuff is like, all he could do was cry. You know, and then he's like, oh, I've got to get to the bottom of this. And so what I was getting to is like, so he does his investigation meeting, goes back to the White Horse, you know, looks at everything as Norman, you know, experiences it all, has the dude come on to him, the good-looking guy come on to him at the end. And then when he's most vulnerable, when he's like, I can't take this anymore. I slept with this guy. I may have killed some people. What does he say? I want my mother.
Yeah. And no,
I need my mother.
I need my mother.
And he's running home. Now, is he running home? That's the last, the end of it, right? Is he's running home, right? That's what I remember. I want to make sure that I'm correct.
Julia, the last thing I remember is him saying, I need my mother.
But he's not back to the house yet, right?
No.
So he's going, now is he...
I don't think so.
So is he going home? Does he realize that because Like, does he have that memory? Like, I slept with this guy. I don't know. Now, what do you think? Is that real? Does he really recognize that he slept with the guy? And then, therefore, he's mom. He's mother. Is he going home to see if she's in the basement? Or is he going home?
Yeah, who knows? I mean, this is the thing. Like, he realized...
He also had visions of mother in her freezer in that state.
Yeah.
And him just sort of resting his head on her lap.
Right.
So
yeah.
I think he's just coming to the realization that she really is just dead. Like, there's nothing more. She's just dead.
Right.
That's the trip to me. So if he's going... And it seems like...
And his moment... We talked a little bit about him in his moments of honesty. And in that moment when he asked... When he says, I need my mother, and his little friend says, can I call her? That's the moment he says, no, you can't.
Yeah. I don't know.
No, like he's realizing that she's just dead. Like, I don't know. I can't seem to articulate this. She's just dead.
Right.
He's lonely.
Yeah, it's weird. But we've got, because we're only in episode 5, and we got at least 5 more of these bad boys to go. Mm. Like, you know, we're running to the back half of this thing, and there's a lot of story to get done here, including a shower scene and some other things. But like, we know we're going to see mother again. So
yeah, that's what I was going to say. This is clearly not the end of the line.
There's a moment where he's like, okay, I get maybe she's around, maybe she's not around. But the fact that he says I need her, it's back to like the level of consciousness, knowing that I need this, my mother, as a coping mechanism. Like, this is all too hard. I can't handle any of this. I don't know what to do about this dude. I don't know about all these dead people bumping around. Like, I need mother to come back and handle all this for me.
Well, it's interesting to me. It's like an exploration of how long can you really live in a self-created bubble before reality it pops it for you.
Yep. This is your autobiography, by the way.
This is... It's a very long title for autobiography. An exploration of how long you can really live in a self-created bubble before someone pops it for you.
Yes.
This
is your life before Aaron.
Right.
Aaron's a needle.
Pop! Oh! So how long can you really live in this? And it seems to me like it going forward. At least in the previews, there's definitely a shot of mother going, what do you want me to be?
Right.
You know, so there's like a reestablishment of this bubble. I mean, psychologically, it's an interesting thing to consider, right? So we've had this whole episode has been the popping of the bubble.
Right.
And then clearly going forward, he's going to reestablish it, right? Isn't that what we kind of know that, right?
Yeah. I don't know.
I think it's going to change from a coping mechanism to a conscious choice.
That's the question, right? So like, how conscious is it?
I can't handle this. Like, mother, can you come take care of this woman in the shower? Like, okay, I'll do this.
Does it go down that road? Yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know.
Like, mother, I can't handle this. This is weird, mother. Can you come out and do this?
I know she's a bad woman.
Yeah.
Is that where... Yeah, I don't know. That's interesting.
That's interesting. Okay, I want to switch over to Dylan and Emma, because that got really interesting. Gotcha. That got really interesting. Like, that really interesting and sad.
Poor dilemma.
And obviously... You know, I mean, I was wondering, I forgot what secrets that Dylan was sitting on, because not only does he know all he knows about Norman, which is one thing, but he knows what he knows about Emma's mom. And so, you know, yeah, like, it's hard when you look at the mother of your child and looking around like, oh, is this Norma's? It's okay. I found this. He's like, God dang it. Like, I gotta... I thought all of that, by the way, was extremely well written and extremely well acted. And props to Olivia Cooke and Max Thoreau for both those scenes, especially that last scene. I thought it was excellent. I don't know. What did you think of that, Julia?
No, I absolutely loved it. It broke my little heart for them. They were in such a good, happy, honest place. And yeah, I kind of forgot that he was holding on to all of that as well. And part of me was just like, just keep it all a secret. You got something good going on here.
Right.
I didn't have to tell her.
I'm kind of in the same boat,
but they
Jules.
Live in an honest world now.
I'm like, you know, I remember Dharma and Greg. I don't know if you guys remember that show. At one point, Dharma cheated on Greg, mm-hmm. and Greg's mother, she was like, well, I've got to tell Greg. And Greg's mother's like, no, you don't. You bear the burden. And as soon as you tell him, you put the burden on him. Right. But but you keep it to yourself and you bear the burden. And I thought that was really an interesting thing at the time. And I think it applies here. Like, if you know, he's getting eaten alive by this knowledge, right? He's getting eaten alive. This, I know some shit went down with your mother. Right. And if I tell you, it's going to F up all the stuff I got going here, and what I got going here is nice. It's orange. It's modern. I like what we got going.
Jill, you spin the pop culture Rolodex, you go digging in the pop culture crates, and you pull out Dharma and Greg,
And I think I've watched Darman.
Darman Greg and Jenna Elfman. That's your move?
I think I've watched Darman
Greg.
The entire
world.
Maybe three times in my life. And okay. That was the one. That
all right. It's like on Darman Greg. You know the ABC hit from 19.
Some of you may or may not recall.
Jesus. All right.
But let me say one more thing about this.
Please do.
You
got a step-by-step reference this time? What's going on? Tell me about what Patrick Duffy did on Step by Step, please.
Oh, you dick.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I love what they did the writing wise, because I mean they really had no choice. That was the way you had to write that scene. Yeah. It's not my mother's earring, it's yours. But that could so easily have been a daytime television Emmy moment. Where it was real soft focus,
sure.
And they did the menthol in the eyes.
Not with Nestor Carbonell at the helm.
Nope. So you had that. I mean, that exact same writing could have been Days or Bold and the Beautiful, and could have been like, it's not my mother's, it's yours, and you know, dissolve. And it could have been, but they didn't do that. They made it work.
Oh,
and
of course they did. You know, the show doesn't do that. The show is not Darman Greg. The show's Bates Motel. Let you live the Darman Greg
ever.
Down.
You're never
anyway,
gonna let that go. That's
so,
fair.
Yeah, I agree. I thought that was very interesting. And then, of course, I do like what she said. It did break my heart when she's like, you need to take a walk right now because I'm going to start yelling and I don't want her to see me yelling in front of you. That broke my heart, too. But her digging in the through looking at the old internets and finding out, like, it's only a matter of time that Norma's dead. Norma's actually dead. I cannot wait. I didn't see any previews to know what they do and you know, what they do. There's so much that has to come together. Let's actually jump over to predictions right now. Let's just go there right now.
And now your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I just want to go here because there's so many things to talk about here, because I'm wondering, like, all these things have to meet at some point, because you have you know, obviously Dylan and Emma Dilemma will actually have to go back to White Pine Bay. And the second they show up at White Pine Bay, the jig is up. I mean, the second they show up and see that Norman's bumping around like, hey, what's the problem? Yeah, mom's fine. Like, nobody believes that.
Uh-uh.
You know, Emma certainly has got, you know, is very upset about that. So that's number one. You still got my boy Alex Romero, you know, with a nice shotgun pellets in his abdomen, who's also still coming. You got the sheriff, who's no dummy, hot on the trail, like about to figure this whole thing out. You got Dr. Edwards, who's out there, who you know, despite his his letting the case go, like he can't at this point think not report something at some point.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Well, let's get into
and
that.
And then, of course, you got like the people who broke the case in Psycho. You've got Loomis. You know, Sam Loomis is the one who broke it in Psycho. Sam Loomis and Marion Crane's sister. So I really wonder if we're going to see Marion Crane's sister and Sam Loomis come to White Pine Bay to blow this thing wide open, or if they're going to do something with Madeline and Sam, or if Sam will join forces with Dilemma. I mean, who knows? There's lots of ways it can go. But Julia, what do you think is going to happen here?
Okay, I have kind of a crazy one. I really don't think it's going to come true, but it just crossed my mind.
Right.
And it crossed my mind because of that scene in the car with Madeline where she whipped her head around and she was super-duper Norma-like.
Uh-oh.
I think, again, I don't think this is going to happen, but what if she's the one who kills Marion in the shower?
Wow.
And she sort of fulfills the mother-like prophecy.
What? Oh, interesting.
Ooh.
And what if there's a confusion between the murder? Like someone's going to say, I saw a woman with a blonde wig kill someone, or I saw a blonde woman in a dress. And then people are going to think
it's... she'll go down for it?
Yeah, I'm going to think it's Madeline.
That's a producer on point right there, kids.
That's a good one.
That's good. I like that.
Because she looks like mother. She's got that. Why didn't we see this coming? She's wearing the dresses at this point. She's already wearing her dresses.
Ooh.
Like, what's going to happen when she runs in and catches what, you
ooh.
Know? Someone's going to see, because what's going to happen is it will be Norman who kills Rihanna in the shower, but someone's going to see that and...
go after Madeline.
Madeline.
Ooh.
That is Chula. You are.
Look at you.
Good.
pulling out the hot takes.
I mean, I helped too, but
yeah, yeah, you guys pulled it together. That was
a tag team effort.
All right, what about you, Flip?
If it comes true, we'll both take credit for that.
I think that would be deserved.
But me first.
Yeah. I just think right now, like I said earlier, we're popping bubbles and reestablish. But it seems like the walls are coming down all over the place, and that seems to be kind of like one of the themes that's going on right now. You know, Dilemma had that perfect little world that they created for themselves. Right, we're out of it. We're out of White Pine Bay. We're not in. We're over here. We're doing our own separate thing, and it seems like those walls are coming down. It's a really nice little place they got. It's real modern. I love everything about it, and it's all falling apart. They're fighting. Dylan had to come out and tell the truth, right, about her mom, and Emma knows now that Norma's dead. So that little facade that they built for themselves, that little bubble, is popping. Okay. And so, you know, Norman's bubble's popping, their bubble's popping, and everybody's getting drawn back to the ish, so to speak.
Well, let's play, in the last couple of minutes, let's play a very fun game of who lives, who dies. I'm just going to say the name. Each of you say lives or dies.
Bring it.
Okay, let's go. Madeline Loomis.
Dead.
Julia.
Lives.
Okay.
Hold on, wait. Let me take a tally.
Jules. Dr. Edwards.
Edwards, ooh. He lives.
Julia.
Lives.
Okay.
Lives.
Dylan. Joe.
Ooh.
Dylan lives, I think.
Julia.
Let's go with dies.
Okay.
Let's go
Emma.
With dies.
Lives or dies? Emma.
Lives.
Joe.
Lives. Oh, I hope she lives. Gotta live.
Romero.
Dies.
She's a mother. They can't kill her. She has a baby.
She has a baby.
All right.
Romero?
Dead.
Dead. Suicide mission right now.
He's dead, right?
Dead.
No way he lives.
Yeah.
Sheriff Green. Lives.
Lives.
She got to blow the left this thing.
Lives.
Okay. The hot guy in the bathroom.
Oh, he lives. We don't see him again.
Okay.
He lives.
And then last but not least, Rihanna. Marion Crane. Sam Loomis. We'll say Sam Loomis. Sam Loomis lives in Psycho, but what doesn't mean he's going to live in this one. So Sam Loomis, you think he's going to live or die?
Well, I don't think they're going to stray that far. And dirtbags tend to live. If that type of dirt, yeah, yeah. He's going to live.
Actually, I'm not sure if he lives in Psycho. I'm not really confused. And Marion Crane, we think is not going to make it.
No. All right. Dies.
All right. That's it. That's fun. All right, kids.
That is fun. I like that game.
Yeah, we'll check in on the tallies as the next 5 weeks as we get, you know, count down to the next five episodes. That's all I got.
I can't believe we only have five more episodes.
I know.
Heartbroken.
Bummer.
And bereft.
Yeah, it's been really good, really good, really, really good quality. All right, Julia, thank you for joining us on the phone 2 weeks in a row.
Thank you, guys.
Sorry I couldn't join the phone last week or in person, but I was there. Where can the kids find you, Julia Carely?
Find me on Twitter and on Instagram with my name, Julia Carely, JULIACEARLEY.
Cool. And Joe Flippo?
You can find me on the Twitters at Joe Flippo, JOEFLIPO.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Joe K. Braswell and on Snapchat at J. Braz. I think that's it. We will see you next week with hopefully a full panel, Dua and all. Dua, yeah. We miss you very much. And some more Baseball Tell. We'll see how if our predictions come true. Thanks for joining us. We'll see y'all next week. Bye-bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz, see you later. I'm the only one? All right.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.